All right, so welcome everyone to our final week in this our Game of Thrones series. And we've gone through quite a few kings in the Old Testament who were given ultimate power by and authority by God. And one way or another, they generally screwed it up. So, pop quiz, who can remind me, what are all the kings that we've looked at so far throughout this series? Rehoboam was one. Jehoshaphat. Chris. Thank you, Chris. What's that? Hezekiah. Well done. And there's one more. Well done, James. All right. Tonight, we're going to be finishing up by looking at the ultimate king that all these kings were leading up to and dive deeper into why Jesus really is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, to start with, who here has seen the TV show Undercover Boss? Yeah, a couple of people. So the premise of the show is that someone who is in charge, it's usually a CEO or a manager, goes undercover and they work as a normal person to try and get an idea of, well, what is it like to work in a normal person's shoes? And to be honest, I haven't really watched any episodes, but I was a big fan of the Saturday Night Live skit where Kylo Ren from Star Wars goes undercover. So we're going to watch some of that.
Each week, we follow the boss of a major organization as they go undercover to find out what's really going on in their company. This is Undercover Boss, Star Killer Base. Kylo Ren is the commander of the First Order, a massive regime dedicated to wiping out the Galactic Resistance. This week, Kylo is going undercover among Star Killer Base personnel as Matt, a radar technician.
You get so caught up in restoring the galaxy to its rightful state that you miss what's going on behind the scenes. I'm looking forward to having some real talk with some real folks.
We've put hidden cameras in an employee common area, and no one has any idea that Matt is their boss, Kylo Ren.
Hi, I'm Matt. I'm a radar technician. You guys like working here?
You know, work is work.
Yeah, totally. What do you guys think of Kylo Ren? Do you guys believe when he says that he's going to finish what Darth Vader started?
What exactly has he started?
You know, I will say this for Kylo. I think he gets a bad rap.
What?
Yeah. He's trying to accomplish something that's never been done in the history of the galaxy. You know?
Ridiculous.
Rule everything? That's impressive. I admire the guy.
Yes. Exactly, exactly.
Okay, it's real easy. All you gotta do is rewire the calcinator.
So remove this?
Does that look like the calcinator? What's wrong with you? Why is it so hard for you to understand?
I don't know, but can you please stop yelling at me? You're starting to stress me out.
I have a newfound respect for what my employees do.
Okay, now can we rewire it, please? So I can go have my muffin. I haven't had my muffin yet, Mac.
It's not as easy as I presumed.
Hey, you kicked my wrench! Jerk Fizz. Have you guys seen Kylo Ren's lightsaber?
Yeah, man, that thing's weird looking.
No, it's not. It's awesome. Here, let me go see if I can find it. I'll show it to you. Look, I found Kylo Ren's lightsaber. Whoa. Look at it up close.
That thing looks dangerous, man. Poorly made. Like a little kid made it.
Then you don't have to look at it anymore!
I'm 90% sure Matt is Kylo Ren.
Yeah, this is actually been a rough year for my family. We lost our son back in April. He was in the Stormtrooper program, and we're getting by.
Well, man, sorry about that. Must be hard. Hearing that Zach lost his son really struck a nerve with me. Especially since I'm the one that killed him. Hey, ran into Kylo Ren in the bathroom. He told me to give you this.
After the rain comes the rainbow. Sorry, I killed your son.
This means something to me now. A buddy of mine saw Kylo Ren take his shirt off in the shower, and he said that Kylo Ren had an 8-pack. But Kylo Ren was shredded.
What?
Your friend's a liar, man. Kylo Ren is a punk bitch. That guy looks like he weighs 30 pounds soaking wet underneath that little black dress.
Jim?
Tim!
Oh no, he's choking on food.
I see what's in your mind. It is stupid!
Dude, Matt straight up sucks.
I have a bombshell announcement to make, guys. I'm not Matt. I'm
Kylo Ren. You're Kylo Ren.
You're Kylo Ren, you know.
I knew when you threw me through the soda machine.
I knew from, hi, I'm Matt.
We really connected today. I'm promoting you to superior officer.
Thank you, sir.
I had a blast today. I really learned a lot. And people are going to love the new me.
All right. Now, it's obviously played for laughs, but the point is supposed to be that it's a challenge for those people who are in power to really be able to relate to those who are not. And something that you might have noticed throughout this series and reading through the Bible is that these Old Testament kings, they often fail because they expect that everything should be done for them just because they are the king, and people should honor and respect them just because they are the king. Let's take, for example, David. Expects that he can have anything that he wants because he is the king. So he goes and takes Uriah the Hittite's wife, Bathsheba. Yes, that's the right thing. Or Saul. Saul thinks that just because he is the king, everyone should honor him. And so he gets really upset when David comes along and people start honoring him over Saul. And it's interesting that the Israelites, they wanted kings. They wanted somebody that they could look up to. And the kings all let them down in one way or another. And aren't we the same? We all look up, we all want strong leaders that we can look towards and who we can trust and who we can follow and who we all know will do things that are in our best interest and in the interests of others. And if a leader lets us down, well, then we become cynical. And not just about the leader, but even about the position themselves. So let's take, for example, the most prominent example today in politicians. I mean, it's fair to say that Donald Trump has done a lot of damage to the office of the President of the United States, just in people's minds. And his failings are seen as America's failings. But we don't even have to go to America to look at that side of things. I mean, even just politicians in Australia, their moral failings and their self-centered attitudes means that most of us here have little to no faith in politicians. But we still keep searching. We still keep hoping for that one person that we can put our faith in. For that one person who won't let us down. And that's why people are seriously considering Oprah to be the next president. Now, instead of Oprah, I want to argue today that if the person that you put your hope in isn't Jesus, then you'll live a life feeling constantly let down. And really, the question that you have to answer for yourself is, well, who do you put your hope in? Where is your hope found? I want to look tonight at three ways in which Jesus shows us that he is the type of king that you can put your faith in and that you can put your hope in and that you can trust your life with. Now, for those type A's out there who love a sermon outline, this is where I'm headed tonight. Point one, that Jesus is our servant king. Point two, that Jesus is our suffering king. And finally, point three, that Jesus is our sovereign king. So, let's start with point one, Jesus is our servant king. Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man," so that's Jesus, "did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." So how do you know that somebody actually cares for you? It's not when they say to you, "Well, I really care deeply about you," because anyone can say that. I remember after my dad died, lots of people came around and said how much they care for my mom and my siblings. But do you know how we found out who actually meant it? It was those who would follow through with actions. Like they'd call up my mom and chat to her, or they'd help me and my siblings with school stuff. They'd come and serve us, and because of that, we knew that they loved and they cared for us. See, Jesus is not focused on his own needs being met, but on us instead being reconciled to God. Jesus is not a self-focused king. He is an others-focused king. See, we worship a God who is not trying to get people to serve him, but instead who serves us. We worship a God who is not a megalomaniac who needs people to worship him, but a God who loves us so much that he'd humble himself and take on human flesh. We worship a God who knows that our greatest need is to be fully known and to be fully loved. And Jesus comes and he tells us that he knows us inside and out and that he loves us, warts and all. So you can trust Jesus with your life because he only wants good for you. He wants you to have life and life to the full. And that's found in relationship with him. Now, don't mistake me. Jesus is not Santa Claus who is here to give you all your hopes and dreams and help you live a life of comfort. Jesus is much greater than that. But by having the servant king in your life, you can know that God is for you and not against you. Like we were seeing before, if our God is for us, then what could stand against? Because even when the world does seem against you, then God is with you and nothing can change that. And that leads me into point number two, that Jesus is our suffering king. So we don't just want a God who can care, or a king who can care for us, but we also want a king that can relate to what we're going through. So the ability to empathize, to understand what's going on, not just at an abstract level, but to really understand because they've been through it too. And I'd hazard a bet for you guys out there that some of the strongest friendships you have are with people who have gone through a similar circumstance to you. And this is an argument against a lot of religions that God or the gods, well, they see what we're going through and they just pretty much tell us to suck it up. And it's the problem of evil. If God is so good, then why do bad things happen in my life and in the lives of so many other people? And it's a compelling argument. Like pain and suffering, they seem pointless. And I'd say that outside of Jesus, you will struggle to find hope in pain and suffering. See, Jesus comes into the world and he doesn't say, get over it. He says, I am with you always. He doesn't say it's an illusion like some other religions do. He experiences it himself on the cross. See, Jesus shows that whatever pain, whatever suffering you are going through, it can find meaning through the workings of God. And the symbol of Christianity is what? It's up there, it's the cross. The most horrible torture device ever created because it shows that God is with us in our suffering and he knows what it is to suffer. So it means that we have a king who knows what we're going through. We can't turn to God and say, well, I feel abandoned, but you wouldn't know what that feels like because we have Jesus on the cross crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? We can't turn to God and say, well, I'm in so much pain, but you wouldn't know anything about that because our God came down and he took on human flesh and he bore our sin and shame on his own body. By his stripes we are healed. We can't say that Jesus doesn't know what it's like to even go through temptation because he himself was tempted by the devil. And as the book of Hebrews says, and now that Jesus has suffered and was tempted, he can help anyone else who is tempted. That's the king that we worship. See, Jesus is the king who cares for you and knows what you're going through and he loves you through it all. But all that doesn't really count for much if a king has no power, if a king has no authority to do anything about it. I mean, why do we go to leaders? Why do we still go to kings and politicians? It's because they have the authority to get things done. And nobody holds more authority than Jesus Christ, who died and rose again, showing that he has authority over sin and death, and who now reigns at the right hand of the Father. And that's point number three, that Jesus is our sovereign king. Our servant, suffering king becomes the King of Kings. And if you claim that he is your king, then that should change the way in which you live your life. This is Philippians 2, 5 to 11. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Jesus is our servant king. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus is our suffering king. And therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is our sovereign king. See, Jesus himself told us that in this world we will have troubles. Jesus does not minimize what you are going through. But then the hope. Jesus says, take heart, for I have overcome the world. So where do you find hope? Do you know Jesus?
The Bible says he's a king of the Jews. He's a king of Israel. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings, and he is a Lord of lords. Now that's my king. Do you know him? No means of measure can define his limitless love. Well, he's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. And he's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. Well, he's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's a fundamental doctrine of true theology. Do you know him? He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? My king is a key of knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Well, I wish I could describe him to you, but he's indescribable. He's indescribable. Yeah. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mouth. You can't get him off of your hands. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my king. Yeah, he always has been, and he always will be. I'm talking about he had no predecessor, and he'll have no successor. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign. That's my king.
Where do you find hope? Do you know Jesus? Now, let me just finish by saying this. In the book of Revelation, so the last book of the Bible, we see the kingship of Jesus made manifest. And in chapter 5, the Lamb is Jesus, is the only one in all of creation found worthy to open the scroll containing the judgments of God. In chapter 11, we hear voices in heaven proclaiming that the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of Christ and that he will reign forever and ever. In chapter 12, we read that the authority of Christ is what causes Satan to be thrown down to earth. In chapter 7 of Revelation, the Lamb conquers all those arrayed against him, and John, who wrote the book of Revelation, stresses that he conquers because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And then finally, in chapter 19, we read of Jesus' triumphant return, coming to reign and rule, and doing so because he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And how does Jesus ultimately use all that authority? How does Jesus ultimately use all that power? First off, think, how do most people who get absolute power and authority use it? They use it to build themselves up, and they oppress others. That saying that absolute power corrupts absolutely. I just open a history book. People who are given absolute power and authority abuse it. But how does Jesus use absolute power and authority? Chapter 21 of Revelation. He uses it to wipe away every tear from our eyes. That's my king. See, Jesus has ultimate power and authority, not the circumstances that you're in, not the politician or celebrity, or even the best friend who you hope will come through for you. And the hope that we have in Jesus extends beyond this world. Do you know what the last words of Buddha were before he died? Strive with earnestness. In other words, continue to work hard. You know what the last words of Jesus were before he died? It is finished. I don't know about you, but I'm putting my hope and my trust and my life in the hands of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who is our servant King, who is our suffering King and our sovereign King, now and forever. Do you know him? Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we just thank you as we come to the conclusion of this series, this Game of Thrones series where we've looked at all the kings, that we can finish by fixing our eyes on you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who suffered for us, who serves us, and who is sovereign over all our circumstances. And Lord, I just pray if there's anyone here who doesn't know you as their king, that today they would get on their knees and they would pray to you and that they would serve you from today, Lord. Because you really are the one who loves us unconditionally, who's with us throughout all things, and who rules and reigns forever. You are great, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you for the ways in which you are working in and through each and every one of us here. Pray all these things in your name. Amen.